Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous, you know. It's the first time, I'm coming to this club here, in California. You know, I don't know what these wads are going to expect out of me. You know, I'm a bastard, you know.
Yeah.
Where can I get a goddamn beer?
You know, I'm so freaking nervous right now. The marinara sauce in my blood is boiling.
You know, usually, you know, cats really don't partake in getting along. You know, you're from, the Big Apple?
I'm from Brooklyn, yeah. Yeah, but that's okay. Well, you know what? We're both in a weird freaking state, if you know what I mean. Look at this. Liberalism everywhere. Yeah.
You know, I was in a cab on the way down here. You know, I was just like, got to get to a bar so I can get blitzed because, you know, I don't know what to expect. You know, I'm not too kosher with a gay community. I don't know if they're going to like me or not.
You seem a little wired. You know, you need something to calm down because you're a little wired.
I ain't going to lie to you. You know, I did some of Boston's finest earlier. You know, I had a couple of cool beers, but I need something to cut the edge.
Our ladies and gentlemen, coming up to the stage next, straight out of New York City, the Big Apple, giving up for Tony Vanville.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, why did the mafia cross the road? Hey, forget about it. You know, what do you get when you... What do you get when you cross an Italian and a Jew, huh? Olive Garden. Hey, what are you going to do? Hey, I got one more for you. You ready? What's a four-letter word in Italian for goodbye? Hey, bang. All right.
How you doing, Los Angeles? I was on my way in a car over here, you know. Like I said, I'm from Boston, you know, and it's like, I like beer. How about you? Anybody out here like beer? Yeah? What's the difference between the head from a broad and the head of a beer? You gonna give up? Ha, ha, ha! Nothing! Hey, everybody, you know, the other day I was watching a Red Sox win as usual.
Tom Patrick's here. Put your hand together for Tom. Tom, great job. The checks are there, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. A tough crowd, huh?
Yeah. You know what? It wasn't even really worth my trip to come down here in the cab. How about you?
I don't know. All they promised me was a couple tickets to Olive Garden, so that's why I told an Olive Garden joke. But I don't see anything laying on the table.
You know, I don't see no greenbacks. I got nothing. Hey, you want to go to a bar, have a couple of cool beers, maybe?
I'll tell you what I really want to do. I want us, you and me, both of us, let's go back to the 80s.
Let's get the hell out of here. Take me back to the glory days, back to the 80s. Oh, take me back to the glory days.
You are listening to the one and only Back to the 80s radio show. We are introducing the 80s to a whole new generation. I am Toscano from Toscano and Chang. And today is a very special show because we are... Wow, I kind of went off into a Christopher Walken right there. Because...
Yeah, you did.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
I still got a little mixture of Tony Bambino in me. We're going to be talking about the best comedians of the 1980s. We have lists of comedians, and we only have time to talk about a few, but you got to understand, the 80s brought us some of the greatest memories of all comedians forever.
Oh, I think the 80s, bro, brought out stand-up comedy kind of like the fashion industry. Remember when we first saw the winged doves of the fashion industry?
Yeah.
With Victoria's Secret?
Yep.
I think comedy took off like Victoria's Secret did
when Victoria's Secret hit the old highways and gave us nothing but gorgeous women with angel wings. I think that was the same scenario when we talk about comedy back in the 80s. Stand-up comedy in the 80s was like going into a See's candy shop. There was so many different flavors and sweetness and things that are going to attract your attention and grab your taste buds. That's how comedy was, because we had stand-up comics that were both clean, X-rated. We had stand-up comedians that were older, that were from a couple of decades prior, but yet their careers were rejuvenated in the 80s.
That's
so
right. Comedians coming from all over the country, from Boston to New York to the Midwest, Boston, to Southern California. I mean, there's comedians that brought us some of the funniest skits, jokes, and stories that we have ever heard. And that is what we're going to be talking about tonight. I do want to thank you guys for joining in on the program, because I do know that every week you are gracious enough with Back to the 80s and Toscano and Chang, whether you're at the gym, whether you're at work, or just hanging out at home and listening to us, you know, one of your favorite devices. I just want to say thank you guys for making Back to the 80s radio show number one in 80s programming.
Uno.
And also, I want to remind you guys that when you guys are ready for this, K-Hits 92.5, we have our link on our Back to the 80s page. All 80s music 24 hours a day is on right now. Our official launch is Halloween of this year, of 2021, but we are currently airing all 80s music. And we're bringing back the 80s radio to this new age. So stick around. We got the best stand-up comedians of the 1980s here on Back to the 80s Radio.
Don't you go nowhere. I'll break your funny bone. Know what I'm saying?
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
Hey, some of you remember the 80s vibe, right? Well, it lives loud and proud on Back to the 80s. With my pals, Toscano and Chang.
If they were a laxative, they'd be so powerful, you could stand on your head and shit on the ceiling.
That position would not only be unavailing, but also undignified.
And now, back to the 80s with Toscano and Chang.
Welcome back to Back to the 80s. This is Chang on the hang of Toscano and Chang. Tonight's show, we are diving headfirst into the ocean of stand-up comedy, something very near and dear to both our hearts, stand-up comedy, and I'm sure a lot of yours. Now, the first comedian I want to bring about face to all of you is number one ranked in almost every top 10 to 20 comedians, and that individual is none other than the late, great George Carlin.
Something else we have in common: flying on the airlines and listening to the airlines' announcements and trying to pretend to ourselves that the language they're using is really English. Doesn't seem like it to me. Whole thing starts when you get to the gate. First announcement: we would like to begin the boarding process. Extra word, process, not necessary. Boarding is enough. We'd like to begin the boarding. Simple, tells the story. People add extra words when they want things to sound more important than they really are. Boarding process sounds important. It isn't. It's just a bunch of people getting on an airplane. People like to sound important. Weathermen on television talk about shower activity. Sounds more important than showers. I even heard one guy on CNN talk about a rain event. Swear to God, he said Louisiana's expecting a rain event. I thought, holy shit, I hope I can get tickets to that. Emergency situation. News people like to say police have responded to an emergency situation. No, they haven't. They've responded to an emergency. We know it's a situation. Everything is a situation. Anyway, as part of this boarding process, they say, we would like to pre-board. Well, what exactly is that anyway? What does it mean to pre-board? To get on before you get on? That's another complaint of mine. Too much use of this prefix pre. It's all over the language now. Pre this, pre that. Place the turkey in a preheated oven. It's ridiculous. There are only two states an oven can possibly exist in, heated or unheated. Preheated is a meaningless fucking term. It's like pre-recorded. This program was pre-recorded. Well, of course it was pre-recorded. When else are you going to record it? Afterwards? That's the whole
purpose. Here's a comedian that we were talking to each other before we came back on air, that there was so many comedians that were rejuvenated in the 80s. And I want to say George Carlin is on both lists. He was beyond intelligent, kind of like a street prize fighter that could make funny out of anything that you gave him, but yet he was going to kick your ass with nothing but intelligence. You know, George Carlin first broke out into the comedy scene back in the 60s. He was on Laugh-In. He was a little bit more conservative looking when comedians, like also with another one that I'm going to mention, Richard Pryor, when they were, and Bill Cosby, there's another comedian that was kind of re-amped back in the 80s style-wise,
right,
the way they looked.
But totally the contrary of what George Carlin, how his performance was, wouldn't you say?
Straight up liberal. Liberalism. I mean, George Carlin was intellectually on cue, liberal as all hell, bold, fearless, intelligent. Now, that is something a lot of comedians do not get credit for, the intelligence level of a stand-up comic. To create your material, but to deliver it in a way to where you're not going to push people away or start a revolution.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that George Carlin that I saw in him that I haven't seen very rarely in any comedian was
thank you.
First of all, his wisdom. I mean, reflections on politics, English language. Psychology, religion, taboo subjects.
Drugs.
Yep. He and his Seven Dirty Words, they were routine since 1978. And it even entered the Supreme Court because of the government's power to regulate indecent material on the public airwaves. George Carlin made a footprint in comedy since 1978.
I mean, and you have to think about the late, great Lenny Bruce, the godfather to all comedians that ever graced the stage with their material or their persona. Lenny Bruce kind of was one of the first pioneers in stand-up comedy that was in your face, used the F word, used derogatory language, talked about dark content. And George Carlin was, I think, the next comedian that could balance those both out in an intellectual way, much like Lenny Bruce. George Carlin was a force to be reckoned with. I mean, I thought he came from your folks like our parents, you know what I mean? When they come up in the generation, and I'm sure you'll agree, my brother, and a lot of our listeners will, where our parents grew up in an age where they dressed up to go out at night. They dressed up to go to church. People were wearing hats. George Carlin and comics like him back then, including Lenny Bruce, you know, they were black suit guys, black tie guys, white shirt guys. Everything on TV was black and white, but they kind of were the bad boy, but they looked like everybody else. I think George Carlin brought that flavor back from the 60s, 70s, and took it full throttle into the 80s intellectually, but his look changed. The facial hair, the hippie type wardrobe, the longer hair. I sound like a conservative, and that's amazing because I'm looking at myself in a mirror right now, and I'm none of those that I'm describing right now. Carlin kind of took that.
Yeah, and you know, now that you're mentioning people that were a little bit older and they dressed up back then, even in the 80s, to dress up in a suit. There was a gentleman by the name of Jacob Rodney Cohen, also known as Rodney Dangerfield, born 1921. Who died in 2004, he was known for his self-depreciating one-liners. Remember the catchphrase?
Yes. Oh,
I get no respect?
I mean, that's destroying my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. Are you kidding? No respect at all. Well, when I was born, the doctor told my mother I did all I could, but he pulled through anyway, you know? I mean, I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, last week my house was on fire. My wife told the kids, be quiet, you wake up daddy. favorite about Hollywood. That's my end of my sponsor. Okay, I'll see you now.
Rodney Dangerfield was another one of those that was a staple of comedy in the 1980s.
You know, the funny thing is you bring up Rodney Dangerfield's name. Now, Rodney Dangerfield tried out comedy in, I believe, maybe the later parts of the 50s, early 60s, and he just couldn't get his niche going. So he gave up stand-up comedy in his, I'd say, his mid-40s, and he started selling aluminum siding. And he was approached to do the Johnny Carson show from an open mic session that people had been watching. Now, at this time when he was approached, he was hanging aluminum siding, painting aluminum siding, and selling it. So at the rightful age, I believe, of 45, maybe 46, he did Johnny Carson. But it wasn't until he hit the prime age of 50, yes, 50, the silver dollar, 50, that his career took off and he became a household name in both derogatory terms and good family entertainment with such great movies as Caddyshack.
Phenomenal. As an actor, Rodney Dangerfield was great because he even attracted the younger audience. We're in 2021, and you talk to a very young person about an older comedian, they don't even listen to anybody who's older.
No.
So there's something about this generation that has something against anybody who is more than 2-3 years older than that person.
Oh, and, yeah.
And you know what? When it came to comedy, even if we were younger back then, and we recognized and realized that people like Rodney Dangerfield were funny, and he ended up being a fantastic, fantastic actor. And one of my favorite movies that he starred in was Back to School, believe it or not.
Oh.
Welcome to contemporary American history. I'm Professor Turgeson. You know, a lot of people think history is just facts. It's just information about the past, but not me. I mean, I hold history very sacred. Sacred. The way the farmer looks at the earth and he holds it sacred. The way a Christian takes the Bible and he holds it sacred. The way a lot of people hold their marriage sacred. That's how I feel about it. So why don't we dive right in by interpreting one of the easiest events in the last 20 years of American history. Now, can someone tell me why in 1975 we pulled our troops out of Vietnam?
The failure of Vietnamization to win popular support caused an ongoing erosion of confidence in the various American but illegal Saigon regimes.
Is she right? Because I know that's the popular version of what went on there. I know a lot of people like to believe that. I wish I could, but I was there. I wasn't here in a classroom, hoping I was right, thinking about it. I was up to my knees in rice paddies with guns and Edwards going up against Charlie, slugging it out with him, while pussies like you were back there partying, putting headbands on, doing drugs, listening to the goddamn Beatle albums.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you? I mean, these kids, they were in grade school at the time. And me, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper. But since you want to help, maybe you can help me, okay? You remember that thing we had about 30 years ago called the Korean conflict? Yeah, where we failed to achieve victory. How come we didn't cross the 38th parallel and push those rice eaters back to the Great Wall of China and take the brick, 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 and nuke them back into the fucking Stone Age River? How come? Tell me why. Say it. Say it.
All right, I'll say it. Because Truman was too much of a pussy wimp to let MacArthur go in there and blow out those commie bastards.
Good answer. Good answer. I like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
A good teacher. He really seems to care. About what, I have no idea.
That's another great comedian, the late, great Sam Kinison. The voice of the 80s, the once known as a pastor preacher, become slash rock and roll guru, heavy metal lord, Sam Kinison style of stand-up comedy. Raw, ruthless, derogatory, sexual, drug-inflicted, aggressive. Oh, I'm talking about Sam Kinison.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're absolutely right. He was a former Pentecostal preacher.
Right.
And he used to perform stand-up routines characterized by his, of course, more than intense style. I mean, very similar. It was very reminiscent of his preaching days, most likely. Can you imagine him as a preacher? That must have been quite scary for the congregation.
You know what? I would have probably enjoyed a church like that with somebody that had as much energy and boldness as myself.
You definitely got a point there.
Now, I'm going to bring up a comedian that landslided stand-up comedy, opened up the door to stand-up comedians to entering the great acting experience. Now, number two on this list is none other than my idol, my mentor, a man that meant more to me in the 80s than my own Jim Ladd of KMET, the late, great Robin Williams.
Damn! A little sip of Perrier here. I had to stop drinking alcohol because I used to wake up nude and hood in my car with my keys in my ass. Not a good thing. Hi, can I help you? No, thanks. It's just flooded. I'll be okay. Beautiful, baby. Beautiful, yeah. And when you get stoned, your discretion goes out the window. You could be eating kitty litter going, this is crunchy, man. And this horrible thing is people who get stoned try and get their animals stoned to make them feel better. It's not bad enough that you proved that Darwin was wrong. You're going to take the whole family with you. Here's your dog going, please don't do this to me. I've just learned to lick my own genitals. Leave me alone. Don't do this to me. And your dog, you're going to go, hey, Farfel. Dog's going, whoa, my tail. Go through it.
Oh, my favorite of all time, brother. My favorite of all time.
I think Robin Williams is probably one of the greatest stand-up comedians that could think on the dime. Robin Williams was like a Muhammad Ali of stand-up comedy. You could throw a joke at Robin Williams and he could take you to 10 places. He can go from 0 to 50 in 2 seconds.
Yep. He was known for his improv skills.
That put him another, I say, level than any other comedian. Even the comedians we've already spoke of, Rodney Dangerfield, George Carlin, a little bit of Richard Pryor. Robin Williams escalated to forms of comedy that cross both comedic acting and, like you said, improv and the art of ruthless stand-up comedy. I mean, he became a great serious actor. He became a role model. He touched so many hearts in so many roles in his serious movies, but he hit the nerve of America and the entertainment planet with Mork and Mindy.
Right.
I mean, how do you create that character and you just landslide the whole freaking world with that one character? Robin Williams should be number one on any list for calling the greatest comedian of all time.
Yeah, I am with you on this, especially because of how much people loved him. They loved him and they still love him. And, you know, we put on our Facebook page.
Yes, I saw. Yes.
You know, we put a picture of him in his many roles. And by the way, I got, as a little side note, I really dislike when some people post comments, oh, get over it, or comments like, just let him rest in peace and stuff. Don't stop talking about him. You know, we do this
derogatory.
We do this out of respect. You know, we do this with our loved ones, and we do this with people, even if we haven't met them, that have caused a change in our life or that have caused us to have happiness in our life. We pay them respect, and this is a form of paying respect. And look, Robin Williams to me means my childhood, and Robin Williams is created, and with his many voices for cartoons and. And him being so many just popular and famous
characters.
Well,
the greatest, Aladdin. You know, the cartoon Aladdin. I've seen interviews with other of the actors on Aladdin. They said most of the genie was improv.
That's right. He just got the audience to fall in love with him. Mm-hmm. And I think, in my opinion as well, Robin Williams will always be the greatest of all time.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I embarked in stand-up comedy. And I was blessed with doing the Comedy Store in Hollywood. And I was moving up the ranks. I remember one evening, we were doing a very big show. I was the second comedian before the headliner. I think they gave me a 30-minute set. Now, 30-minute set, you know, that's pretty good, is it? That's a long time for a comedian. And I used to sit in the green room. And the only thing green in that room was the wallpaper of bamboo with some fake leaves, and every plant in there was plastic. So it wasn't green. I think the only green thing in the green room was the 420. Was me going 420, and that was it.
That's right.
Now, anyway, I did this show, right? I was getting ready to do this show. It was probably one of the bigger shows that I had been handed to at the Comedy Store. And everything that I was doing in comedy, I was I had one thing on my mind. One day I want to meet the man that showed me the path to do what I'm about to do. If everything to me was one day, maybe Robin Williams will meet me. Maybe I can meet him. Maybe I could tell him what I think of him. Maybe he can see me perform. Long story short, I know it's a cliche statement, but I was called upon to do my set. And there was many, many famous comedians that came into that room that night. And I don't want to go into names. It'll take too long. But I remember I was on stage. The lights were kind of bright. And the buzz in the green room, I could hear people were saying, "Hey, Robin's out there by the doorman." Now, I looked out, and I could barely see. You know what I mean? I saw a guy about his height. I didn't know it was him. I could hear the buzz in the back. You know, everybody was kind of turning around and looking. So anyway, you know, as a comic, you can't buckle.
Right.
I did my set. I completed my set. I got a very good response. I went back to the green room. You know what I mean? And then I have to go through us comedians go through that come down experience.
Sure.
Kind of like coming off of drugs, alcohol.
Right.
Or so you come on the come down. And I was really nervous because it was like, you know, to me, it was like I was going to make it or break it that night. I had proven myself, but I got really proved myself. The door guy comes up, and I'm in the back, and I'm chugging a shot of Jack. And he goes, "Hey, bro." He goes, "Williams was out front." And I was like, "Robin Williams?" He was like, "Yeah." He was like, "I told him, this fool right here, that's you. You had wanted to meet him, but he had to bone out." He goes, "He watched your set." And he said to me, he goes, "That cat, he's got the vibe. That cat could go somewhere." He goes, and he turned around, he signed some autographs, and he split. He goes, "So
wow,
I'm just letting you know, dude, Robin Williams watched you, and he thought that you were pretty good. So hopefully that gets you over the bug and all the little
sure.
nervousness you have for the next time you're up here."
Yeah, I mean, if Robin Williams said it, I mean, you're in.
Dude, I've never forgot that. Never, ever have I ever forgotten that. As a matter of fact, that is what keeps me going to do this with you and every time I open my stupid freaking mouth.
Oh. Well, this is Back to the 80s Radio. We're talking about the 1980s greatest comedians. We're going to be right back, so stick around. There's a lot more.
Like a creature of the night.
Back to the 80s.
Remember when we thought the 80s were lame? That's because we hadn't lived through this decade yet.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
Welcome into Back to the 80s Radio. This is Toscano from Toscano and Chang. We are talking about the 1980s greatest comedians. The comedians that were considered, and in our opinion, are the greatest comedians of all time.
Oh, hell yes.
And we are just floored by what their legacy has left us. And one of those comedians, bro, I remember my cousin Ralph rented the video, and we watched me as a little kid. This is what, 1982, I believe.
Oh, don't.
So I'm 10 years old.
You didn't have to say little kid. You didn't have to say that.
I'm 10 years old in 1982, and I watched Eddie Murphy Delirious for the very first time.
I have the ice cream man around here. They have Mr. Softy ice cream. Remember when the ice cream man used to come to town when you was little? And no matter what you was doing, you would stop and lose your fucking mind? There's something about the ice cream truck that make kids lose it. And they can hear that shit from 10 blocks away. They don't hear their mother calling them, but they hear that motherfucking ice cream truck. And no matter what was going on, the ice cream man came to stop. You be getting some marbles and shit, and you hear... Ice cream! Ice cream! The ice cream man is coming! The ice cream man is coming! Ma! Ma! Those are some money! The ice cream man is coming! mother come to the window and be throwing change. She's saying, "Get your father toasted almond bar and get your brother ice it and get yourself vanilla cone and bring back my change." And you catch all that shit and run down the street, top speed, chasing the ice cream truck. Ice cream! Ice cream man always drove extra block though. And I know he's seen us and shit, but I think he just be in the car with his friend saying, "Watch me make how fast I make these motherfuckers run." You be behind him doing 50 going, "Ice cream!" He stopped, you be all went out of wind, said, ice cream man, can I have this? I want this over here, and a toast on by my father, and give me this ice over here, and vanilla cone. Thank you, ice cream man, thank you, ice cream man, thank you. And you get your ice cream. I get my ice cream. I remember I get my ice cream, and I didn't eat it. I sang for a little while, you know. You know how kids are, have you gone?
I have some ice cream. I have some ice cream. I have some ice cream. And I'm gonna eat it all. I'm gonna eat it all.
Now ice cream be running all down your arm and shit.
Ice cream. I'm gonna eat all my ice cream. Ice cream. Ice cream.
No, it'd be one kid on the side, didn't get no ice cream, and kids don't care. They go,
"You don't have no ice."
Oh, ho, ho, dude.
I loved it, and it stuck with me ever since. I never get tired of watching it because Eddie Murphy is a comical genius.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And a great, great storyteller.
I mean, Eddie Murphy came upon like kind of like a comet in the night. You know, 19 years old to hit the SNL stage to do, you know, Little Richard. And you know what I mean? That classic skit, you know, Hot Tub. I mean, Eddie Murphy became a sensation, I'd say, within 45 freaking minutes on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And there was nobody that could top him. You had never seen anybody like Eddie Murphy unless you had watched Richard Pryor.
Right, right.
If you knew, and we'll talk about Richard later, if you knew anything about brash, balls out, badass in comedy, yeah, you can bleep this out. Beside Richard Pryor, it's Eddie freaking Murphy. Now, Eddie Murphy's brother was also hilarious. And you know who his brother was, right?
Charlie Murphy. Of course, Charlie Murphy. One of the funniest things of Eddie Murphy were his pocket full of characters. And a couple of those that I really liked besides the very famous SNL Buckwheat. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
But when he imitated Stevie Wonder.
Oh, when he did it with Joe Piscopo?
Yes, when they were playing the piano. That's correct.
Hey, Stevie, what the hell are we beating around the bush for? This is 1982. Let's get right to the point, huh? Here, take it from the tops. Swing it, Stevie, with a bounce, baby. You are black. I am white. Life's an Eskimo pie. Let's take a bite. That was groovy thinking, Lincoln, when you set them free. We all know cats are the same, Maine to Mexico. Good, bad guys and chicks.
I am dark and you are light.
You are blind as a bat that I have sight. Side by side, you are my amigo. Negro, let's not fight.
Ebony and ivory, just living in perfect harmony.
We're talking salt and pepper, whoa. Sammy and Dean. Stevie and me are peachy king.
You are white.
You are black. And who cares? Who cares, baby?
And that was pretty brash-ass stuff right there.
And then his bag full of tricks and so many voices that Eddie Murphy has done as well. And you know what? And he became an incredible actor. And
yes.
My favorite movies that he has come out in, believe it or not, are still the 80s ones, specifically 48 Hours and Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, some of my favorite.
What about Back to America, Barbershop? The roles that he played in different makeup. Dude, you can't write that shit.
No, the Nutty Professor.
The Nutty Professor, exactly. He was also Dr. Doolittle.
Right. And he was the voice of the donkey in Shrek as well?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So Eddie Murphy, definitely one of the greatest comedians of all time. And I would say he's way up there within the first top five.
Oh, yeah. He's number three in our list. And you know what's funny? As we come to number four, I'll bring out number four. You already brought up his name. The late, great, older Silver Fox. That's right. Rodney Dangerfield. Oh, Rodney Dangerfield. Like, you know, like the little story I shared with you on how old he was when he finally broke the charts as a stand-up comic. I mean, this guy, even with his fame and his presence, opened up his own comedy club called Dangerfields. And Dangerfield, I mean, hosted so many great and upcoming comedians. You have Ray Romano, Sam Kinison.
Didn't he give Andrew Dice
Stephen
Clay
Wright.
His first he gave Andrew, his first chance?
Yeah, he gave Dice Clay his first chance. Sam Kinison, like I mentioned. I mean, so many comedians, Stephen Wright. I mean, the list could go on young comedians. Paul Reiser, Dennis Wolfberg, another comedian that maybe some of our listeners may remember, or maybe they're not. But Dangerfield, just like Carson, opened the door for so many young comedians to flood the gates and make the 80s their comedic bitch. Rodney all the way.
I agree.
You like the way I phrase that. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. And, you know, we also have the late, great John Candy.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year. They're going to go all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Now, with John Candy, it was different because I never heard him do stand-up, but he was a phenomenal comedian when he came out in TV shows and, of course,
yes,
in all of his movies. I mean, all of them. He was just phenomenal from Stripes all the way to The Great Outdoors, Uncle Buck, Spaceballs. I mean,
yes.
Splash, Cool Running, Summer Rental, Home Alone. I mean, you know, great, fantastic movies.
Now, I first stumbled upon John Candy doing SCTV.
Yes.
Which was an improv, very similar to the Canadian version of Saturday Night Live.
I remember now, that, yes.
And the funny thing is SNL, a lot of the SNL Not Ready for Primetime players did come from Second City TV with John Candy. And other great actors from
Canada.
SCTV.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and John Candy, I never seen him do stand-up comedy. Like I say, I was only enthralled and just overwhelmed with glee when he did SCTV. And the characters he did on that show, Johnny LaRue, Yellow Belly, so many iconic characters that he did. And when he finally broke out into the silver screen, I mean, he became that character that was kind of a footprint in comedy movies. You know, he was a mold that was made on his own terms, I would say, with John Candy.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he was a splendid, intelligent, unstoppable comedic actor.
I agree.
That's what I would say about John Candy.
I agree.
I wouldn't put him in the stand-up comedy list.
No.
Because we can do a whole other show on comedic improvisational actors that made the screen what it is, made their presence known on the screen, but yet they do not have the stand-up credential behind him. There's a big difference between an improv comedian and a stand-up comedian. You know, Tusky, here's a comedian, bro, that a lot of people forget, And, you know, with his style, it's easy to forget. I think on this list, he's number six, Stephen Wright from Boston, Massachusetts.
My theory of evolution is that Darwin was adopted. I got a new dog. He's a paranoid retriever. He brings back everything because he's not sure what I threw him. My uncle was a clown for Ringling Brothers Circus. And when he died, all his friends went to the funeral in one car. So I get out of the bed. I figured I'd go for a walk. She said, "How long are you going to be gone?" I said, "The whole time."
Which is very anal that I did a Boston comedian earlier.
Yeah.
And Stephen Wright, I mean, I don't think he ever broke out really past his Johnny Carson presence.
Now, is he still alive?
You know what? I think he's alive, but if he died, it's because of the comedic style that nobody would really, you know, pay too much attention to.
Because he was lethargic and slow. And,
He reminded me of like that librarian that was stoned, and when the sixth grade class would go on a field trip to the library, that stoned monkey would be reading this story to all of us.
Yeah,
that's what Stephen Wright reminded
when
me.
When they used to announce him, they should have said the anti-humor comedian.
Yes, yes, yes. The guy with a boring voice. I mean, if that guy talked like he had oral sex, nobody came.
Right.
But that was number six. And now number seven, we discussed already, the late, great Sam Kinison, somebody that I had the pleasure of meeting at the Rainbow, one of my many long, dark rock and roll lifestyle nights in Hollywood, California. And then, now number eight, I want you to bring out number eight because he kind of falls into the realm that me and you are discussing of comedians that went into acting.
Yeah, you know, and that is the great... the really, really great Billy Crystal.
Woo! Thank you very much. This is very exciting. Not only to do this show, which I love, but it's St. Patrick's Day in New York. There's a lot of people eating and drinking. Matter of fact, the biggest selling button today was Wipe My Lip. I'm Irish. It's... So if you're going to drink and eat, just order your food and throw it on the floor. Because it ends up there, you know?
You know, Billy Crystal was born in the city where I was born, which is Long Beach, California.
Yes.
And his real name is William Edward Crystal. And he was born in 1948, of course. And yes, he's one who can do both stand-up, he can do improv, and mm-hmm. and he can act like nobody's business.
Now, I remember when Billy Crystal came out in the adult-type sitcom Soap. I don't know if you recall
that. I remember
that.
Yes, I do. Yep.
He played the homosexual brother.
Yeah.
you know, brother to Danny, the guy that talked to himself, the handsome Italian looking guy. And then he was brothers with the other blonde guy that lived his life through a dummy. That was a great show, by the way.
Yep. I remember Soap.
But remember, Billy Crystal hit it home when he started doing benefit shows with Whoopi Goldberg, who is now a little bit too much for her own self on her own talk show, and the late, great, of course, Robin Williams. Those three, I mean, they have so many people with their benefit show and the comedy that they did.
You know, Billy Crystal did some great roasts as well. Do you remember when he was a part of the Muhammad Ali roast? This is back in the 70s.
When he imitated Muhammad Ali. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about all these things, all these shows that we're talking about, these great comedians. Now, my dad used to have me study almost everybody that we're talking about, even others that we haven't talked about. Because my old man always thought, well, if you're going to be a smartass, you better be a badass smartass. So a lot of the comics that we're talking about, I mean, dude, I watched over and over again. I videotaped them and watched every... As a matter of fact, Mrs. Chang bought me all of the roasts from the 70s and the 80s.
Those
so
were
I have
great.
Every roast.
Those are great films.
Everything you can imagine on those roasts was there. Adult content without derogatory language.
Right. Right, and before you could do that and people would understand, now people probably need a dictionary
Right.
You know, next on our list is a guy who I'm going to let you introduce him. But here's what's funny about this next cat, that I heard him in the 80s. That's when he first came out.
Right, right.
And I thought he was Italian. I totally thought he was Italian. But he's Jewish.
So is that the girl, huh? How long you going with her? 4 months, huh? You cheating? Yeah, sure. Yeah, me too. But you got to be careful, you know, when you get a good one, because there's a lot of disease. You can't really cheat today. It's not like 4 or 5 years ago, where you could come home, lie with a straight face. They'd be like, "Where were you all night?" Having coffee with the guys. No, you weren't. You were cheating on me. No, I was having coffee. Really? Yeah.
Talking about the legendary X-rated comedian, as in Andrew Dice Man Clay. Now, I remember I went to go see the Dice Man in concert. I was more of a fan of Sam Kinison in that era than the Dice Man. I found the Dice Man to be a little bit kind of the same thing all the time.
Right.
You know, but I do have to give him great respect for Hickory Dickory Dock. That beak can blow my yick. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So his renditions of X-rated
children's
stories was eclectic. I mean, there was nobody else that captivated or captured what he did.
Or delivered him in the same style.
Yeah, and delivered him in the same style. And with the leather jacket, he brought out kind of the biker, New York thugster, rock and roll kind of raw energy. I'm gonna have a drink and bash your face, and maybe I'll go get crabs or herpes from one of these chicks over here. I mean, you know, he eluded the rock and roll to his persona with his look and his dialogue. But I'll always have to give it up to the late, great Sam Kinison, who captured the rock and roll metal essence in stand-up comedy. I mean, way more than the Dice Man.
Yeah.
But the Dice Man was a force to reckon with back then.
He was. And believe it or not, for a lot of people who may have just dismissed him, the Dice Man, born Andrew Clay Silverstein, in 1990, he became the first stand-up comedian to sell out Madison Square Garden for two consecutive nights. How's about that? Now, that's not an easy task.
Was that the tour where I believe it was the Dice Man Cometh?
That's a good question. I don't have that information. I can tell you that, it was in the same year that he played the role in a comedy mystery film called The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Oh, yeah, that was a crappy movie. Yes, I remember that movie, yeah. baby.
Sorry, Dice Man, but, so that we've got tons. I mean, we got so many comedians to talk about. We just don't have enough time to do this in one show. So
not at all.
We promise you guys, all Back to the 80s fans, that if you stick around with us, we're going to be talking about a lot more comedy from the 1980s. Everywhere from Chris Farley to Bobcat Goldthwait and beyond. So stick around.
Bobcat, that was an individual I never understood really how the hell he made so much money, because it was like, hey man, you're making a lot of money off of somebody that is suffering from some type of a physical deficiency.
That's
you jackass. I was like, shut the man, I want to suck that guy till he talks normal.
This is the one and only Back to the 80s. I want to thank you guys for joining us, and also remind you guys that if you do have something that you'd like to let us know or a topic for a future show, write us into our Back to the 80s Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. We already have tons of people who write us in, and we just can't thank you guys enough. I mean, I'm floored by I'm excited, and just, I mean, I can't believe that you guys would take the time to write to us and invite us to have drinks and food on the other side of the world at one of your restaurants over
man,
there.
That is
going to
be nice.
Hey, by the way, listening to us from Spain, thank you guys. And all the way from South America to here in our beautiful United States, and from England to Europe, every country in Europe, and to Australia. Thank you guys for being a part of Back to the 80s.
That's right. Everybody in Los Angeles, San Diego, We thank you from the bottom of our hearts to help us grow to the rapid rate that we are. We couldn't do this without you, and we couldn't do this if it wasn't for us doing it for you. So on the bottom of my black heart, I thank you.
Yeah, there's no way we could do this without us, could we?
No, no. I mean, who would want to listen to us? I mean, my wife gets tired of listening to me after maybe 15 minutes of being home. She's like, hey, can't you do what your dogs do and lick yourself and go into the other room, you know? But what are you going to do?
This is the one and only Back to the 80s. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Friday. Take care and be safe.
Remember, everybody, stay lifted and gifted. You are one race, the human race. Remember, do not take anything for granted. Go out there and stand for something bigger than yourself. Until next Friday, this is the Chang and the Toscano Man wishing you an adios, arrivederci, hasta la vista, hasta mañana, sayonara, and to all the homies in the barrio. Orale.